So as I said this at the very beginning, this is all, we're celebrating All Saints Days, but All Saints and All Souls are right next to each other. And one is, traditionally, it's all of the saints, the great saints that, you know, we all know and love, St. Francis and St. Clair and St. Augustine, and you can name a zillion of them, but those are like the ones that were official saints. And it's just, their lives are so rich. There's a 4-volume set in my office. It's the Butler's Lives of All the Saints, and it looks like a lineup of encyclopedias. And it's lovely and great stories. And so we lift up those saints that we have, that are part of our heritage. And then we know Lutherans, we don't delve into them as much as maybe we ought to, but they're just rich. So there's those saints. And then there's All Souls, which is like the rest of us. It's just really sweet, right? It's like we're also a part of that the army of the saints, right, in a sense. And Luther got it, was very much like that. Because what's Luther's thing about saints, right? We are always all, both, simultaneously saint and sinner, right? So we are both. And not like half saint, half sinner, 100% saint. 100% sinner. Redeemed sinners. Right? Redeemed by the gracious mercy of God. And I would add, the gracious, patient mercy of God. Right? Look at all of these texts today. They're all about the thing that's going to happen. Isaiah says, in those days it will be on this holy mountain that God will take away the shroud that has covered the nation. He will wipe away every tear, and he will swallow up death forever. In that day, wait for it. It's coming. And in the Revelation text, it's the entire New Jerusalem dropping down from heaven. It's so interesting. In Revelation, there's not any business of us going up to heaven. That's not the main thing. The main thing is that heaven and God are coming down to us. To be with us, to live with us in that day. Wait for it. And then, of course, in John's text, Jesus is like, it looks really quite bad, actually. Remember the story? Lazarus is sick, and his sister sent for Jesus, and Jesus was a couple of days away, and he gets the word that his friend Lazarus is sick, and what does he do? Jump up real quick and run as fast as he can to get to Lazarus? No. He waits a couple of days. And then he tells his disciples, well, let's go. I've got to go wake up Lazarus. And they're like, well, if he's sleeping, he'll be okay. And Jesus kind of rolls his head and rolls his eyes and says, oi. Lazarus is dead. We're going to go raise him. Right? So, okay. Then he goes, and the sisters, Mary and Martha, they're just so angry at him because he doesn't get there on time. If you'd have been here, my brother might not have died. My brother would not have died. Right? And Jesus says, did I not tell you that you would see the glory of God? Patience. Jesus is never in a hurry. Why are we always in a hurry? Huh? Right? Why are we always in a hurry? We're constantly trying to get from one thing to the next. I think it has to do with the fact that for Jesus, it's like those promises for Jesus, it's like he's living as if they already come true. Those beautiful promises of on that mountain, death will be swallowed up. The holy city, the new Jerusalem will come down to him. It's already a done deal. God has spoken this. And for Jesus, God speaks it, and that's it. It's going to happen. But God's promises are never revoked. And so we can relax a little and think, why are we in a hurry? I also think probably we're in a hurry because we have this weird relationship with death, of course. Right? We got to get everything done because we only have a limited amount of time. Right? And so let's hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Or we think we're so important that what we got to get done is really going to change the world, really, right now, quick. No matter what,
the promise of God is not revoked. And Jesus seems to understand that. And so he's like, all right, I'll get there. And he gets there, and the sisters both give him an earful. Then he says, where did you lay him? And you take him to the tomb. And now here is this place where Jesus kind of, it's like strongly moved, is filled with emotion, all of these different translations. Well, you know what? It's partly that. He's angry also. He's angry. That's the better translation. He looks at the tomb. He sees all the people wailing. And he's frustrated. It's like, did these people not hear the promises of God? What are they wailing about? And he sees the tomb. And he sees the stone. And then he really does get disturbed. He says, roll away the stone. He gets an argument about it. Roll it away. Yeah, it's going to stink. No, it's not going to stink. Roll it. And then he says this prayer, which I think is, I really have a hard time with this prayer sometimes. Lord, I know you always hear me, but I say this for the sake of these people standing around me. What a strange thing to do, right? Here's what I think. Jesus has come to this tomb, and he is seeing from the outside what he's going to experience on the inside later on. And I think he says this prayer. I know you hear me, you always hear me, but I have said this prayer so that the people around me will hear it. And I wonder if he has in mind this. I want these people, when I'm inside the tomb, to be able to pray. When they're facing death, the death of their loved one, that they will be able to turn to God and claim the promise that God has given us. And it's all so clear. There's the stone that gets rolled away. There's the grave clothes. There's Jesus. Remember when Jesus cries out in a loud voice before he breathes his last? He cries out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. All of these connections between his own death and this death that he is looking at. It's almost like he gets to see it before he actually lives. And it's even deeper than that. Because when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, you know what the first thing is that people do? His enemies go off and plan how to destroy him. Jesus could have not raised Lazarus from the dead and could have saved himself something. But Jesus isn't concerned about it. He's going to give his life away for the sake of those of us who are in the tomb, dying, dead, lost, forsaken. He does that. And they go and plan his death. Because the people who have the power of death don't want us to know that that power has been devoured. That power has been broken. That even though we are bound to die, we are not bound by death. We are bound to live in Christ. And bound not to worry about I'll put it another way. That being unbound by the power of death allows us to be receptive, loving, kind to everybody. This is what the saints are about. We don't have to worry about convincing anybody or changing anybody. We love them. This is what our calling is. And we give ourselves. So just this week, Virginia got a text, and I get to read it. My cousin Stephanie. Stephanie was a very hard person to be with. And everybody knew it. And her husband left her.
her daughter disowned her. Didn't have anything to do with her. And there's Stephanie in the last years of her life, and she's in the nursing home, and nobody's attending to her. Mm-hmm. Except for her sister-in-law, Joyce. And Joyce's two daughters, Francesca and Mercedes. Right? These are Stephanie's... Joyce was married to Stephanie's brother, who died years before. And here's Joyce. And Joyce and those girls gathered around Stephanie in her last year of life and tended to her when nobody else wanted to. They didn't wait for Stephanie to change. She wasn't going to change. They just went in and tended to her. It's a stunning thing. They didn't get along with Stephanie any better than anybody else. But they stayed and were with her. And then they let out the word that Stephanie had died. Just on All Saints Day. She died. So there she was, Stephanie, entering into glory because we good Lutherans know this. She was simultaneously saint and sinner. She was baptized into the Christian faith. She was received by God. But I say there are three more saints who should be added to the major saints calendar. Those three women who went to their cousin, or to their in-law, sister-in-law, and aunt, when nobody else did. That's what I think is saying. And I think when Jesus says, be patient, these promises are coming to us, I also think in that action, the promise of heaven come to earth is fulfilled. And I think that every one of us knows stories and fulfillments of the promise. Am I wrong? Mm-hmm. If nothing comes to mind right this second, take a minute and think about the saints in your life. Their witness when they did something that you just thought, wow. Their witness to you. They're sitting you in the kitchen. I got all day. I'm nothing but patient. I'm all ears. What do you got to say? How are you? What you doing? Take a minute. So the first thing that comes to my mind is my spiritual director, Marie. She lives in Berkeley. Every time I call her, she says, oh, there you are, dear one, there you are. And when she says that, I know I have an hour. And hear with prayerfully and lovingly hear what I have to say. Isn't that lovely? Anybody else?
My father, who never ever raised his voice to me, not once, Well, I kind of think I can't even hear his voice raise, even though I gave him many, many.
Simultaneously saint and sinner.
Yeah, right. He just was calm.
Thanks be to God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think pretty much everyone here knows that I suffered with major depression in the last two winters and wound up living with Mike and Carrie Travers, who I consider to be real saints. But the specific thing I'm thinking of is one time when I'd had a therapy appointment with a substitute therapist, and it had gone terribly. And I had come back to the house really upset and disturbed by it, but I knew it was a very busy evening for Carrie, and I can't remember what Mike was up to, but I wasn't trying to like get them to sit down with me. But Carrie just took one look at me and said, "Okay, come on, let's sit down." Mm-hmm. And she did make the time.
I think I'm like Martin, my father. Let's pray about it. Let's think about it. Before you do that, let's think about that. Let's pray about it. I just remember that. Calmness. Like, okay. And you talk to him about something, and it probably wasn't a good idea. And you think, okay, let's think about it. Let's just pray about it one minute. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I'm going to speak of my sister, Patty. Who we've been close our whole lives, and she's been a saint to me, a missionary. She and her husband have traveled the world. Always patient and kind. And I'm going to be leaving in a few days because I'm going to say goodbye to her because she's now in hospice and she has very few days to live. So this service, talking about saints, I'm trying to celebrate her life because she has always been a saint. And I love her dearly, and I just pray, I just see the Lord with his hands out waiting for to lift her up. So,
yes.
She has been a saint to me.
Two saints.
I'll be going
Wednesday to Pittsburgh. Right. Yeah. The reunion of two saints, that will be.
Yes.
If someone is dying to talk, please do it now, otherwise we'll move on to the next thing. So, the promise is for us. And God does not neglect his promise. Be patient, O saints of God, and be watchful, and bear witness to what God and God's promises are doing as they leak into our world.